This is Ozarks at Large. According to the Arkansas Power Service Commission, as many as 60,000 homes and businesses statewide were without power this weekend due to the severe winter storm. Above-ground electrical transmission and distribution lines are vulnerable to failure from heavy wet snow, dense ice, and high winds. And some advocates say it's time to go underground. Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich reports.
Frank Burgraff stands beneath a humming electrical power substation off Dixon Street in downtown Fayetteville, surrounded by 40-foot-tall metal joint-use utility poles, hoisting webs of electrical line. Burgraff, emeritus professor of landscape architecture at the University of Arkansas, is a vocal proponent for burying power lines.
Undergrounding is very reliable. The cable stands up to time and so forth very well. The outages are not very frequent, and they're not very difficult.
In the 1970s, while teaching at Penn State, he served as chief analyst in the Office of Environmental Planning for the New York State Public Service Commission under Republican Governor Nelson Rockefeller.
When I was in New York, I was a witness for the Public Service Commission on hearings on the merits of undergrounding. In 1971, the commission adopted the staff's proposal that all new subdivisions of four or more units be undergrounded. That's 1972. Since 1972, all of the new housing throughout the state of New York has been underground. I consider that my biggest contribution as a landscape architect to the environment was the fact that there are no longer overhead lines in any new subdivisions in New York, and hadn't been since 1970.
Burgraff cites aesthetic, safety, and lower maintenance as top reasons for undergrounding. He eventually left New York for the Ozarks, taking a position at the University of Arkansas. Here he experienced prolonged power outages at his home in Winslow, including the historic winter storm of 2009, which crushed trees and homes with as much as 5 inches of ice, knocking out power for 2 weeks in some places. A similar ice event last December cut power across sections of central Arkansas, including the Little Rock metro area. Following chaotic power outages, the concept of burying electrical facilities always comes up, says John Bethel, executive director of the Arkansas Public Service Commission.
The question comes up, I guess, from time to time. There have been, inquiries from some members of the Arkansas General Assembly just as to whether it's feasible to do that.
John Bethel says no aggregated data exists on the percentage of underground power lines in this state, but a significant portion is above ground. One reason, Bethel says, is underground facilities are more costly.
And just with some broad examination of the cost per foot or cost per mile of the construction of underground facilities versus the construction cost of overhead facilities based on the facilities that are in place, it indicates that generally underground facilities are significantly more expensive to install and to maintain than overhead facilities.
Arkansas Public Service Commission allows for construction of underground electric distribution where feasible, and while Arkansas has yet to do so, the Oklahoma Corporation Commission's Public Utility Division conducted a study in 2008 into undergrounding electric facilities statewide after a massive disruptive ice storm the previous winter. Of the 29 people who died in that storm, 13 deaths were attributed to loss of electricity. A crude monetary value was applied to those lives, equaling $60 million, along with $780 million in losses from the storm. The study found that Oklahoma would have to spend more than $30 billion to bury 8.5 thousand miles of distribution line. Undergrounding advocate Frank Burgraff.
Being as conservative a state as they were, they reached the conclusion, but they didn't make any laws. On the other hand, one of the companies, particularly the one in Tulsa, is undergrounding voluntarily of existing facilities, which is the most expensive at all, because they recognize that replacing that overhead repeatedly costs more than undergrounding. And that's the real clincher. There is no reason now why you should not undergrounding all new distribution, because the cost of it, while it may be larger than the initial installation of overhead, is going to be doubled or tripled every time there's another storm, and you still, when you're all through, you still have a vulnerable system.
North Carolina has considered undergrounding, but ditched the concept after calculating consumers wouldn't tolerate a 125% increase in electric bills. The Oklahoma study also found that underground facilities are not as durable as above ground, to which Frank Burgraff takes issue.
As I say, if you look at New York, we've been undergrounding since 1970. Now that's been disproved. The reliability of cable, especially if you put it in conduit, is more than enough to overhead. And certainly, if you have one storm in that 30 years, you've already replaced it.
Last autumn, Hurricane Sandy scoured the eastern seaboard, but television newscasts staged on the periphery of Manhattan showed that section to be illuminated, served by Consolidated Edison's underground electrical facilities. But Con Ed, which continues to bury lines in New York, is an outlier in the world of electrical utilities. Frank Burgraff says utility companies don't consider long-term savings from both storm repairs and economic loss.
Actually, if you took them to court now, I would argue that their reliability costs are such that they shouldn't be allowed to continue to overhead without a hell of a lot of studies. And the other thing is, and this is what I'm really concerned about, is that, you know, we have the power to tax utility facilities. We, if we really believed this was in the interest of the public, we could tax the overhead system bigger than the underground system, and they make up any difference in cost that they think they're saving.
Entergy, which serves 2/3 of Arkansas, claims undergrounding distribution lines make sense in new developments. But an Entergy Texas study found undergrounding transmission facilities is nearly impossible, costing per mile $5 million versus $500,000 above ground. Entergy also states while undergrounding lines experience fewer outages, when they do occur, troubleshooting and repair take longer, especially in winter. Another study found underground lines are at risk for flooding and rogue excavation. Burgraff believes studies are skewed towards utilities' interests and profit margins. In findings issued this year on the status of undergrounding nationwide, Edison Electric Institute found no state has recommended wholesale undergrounding of their utility infrastructure due to conversion costs. Boilerplate data on undergrounding replicated by states has long calculated the cost to bury distribution lines to be 10 times higher or more. But Edison Electric's new data show that figure is dropping. SWEPCO, which services western Arkansas, operates 4,500 miles of electrical distribution lines. In an email for this report from spokesman Peter Main, he says 17% of its distribution facilities are underground, but none of its 995 miles of high-voltage transmission lines are buried. Many utilities will do targeted undergrounding on new development, which is typically cost-shared with benefiting parties, or when majority of customers request it, or in certain cases, when above-ground facilities need replacement. And some consumers are leaving the grid altogether, relying on sustainable home energy systems. But undergrounding advocate Frank Burgraff says more consumers at large need to demand it.
People prefer undergrounding, but they're not in the decision-making process when the developer and the utility get together. That's the problem. They might be willing to pay a little more, but they never get the opportunity.
Our electrified human habitat hasn't changed much since the first power lines were strung in Oregon in 1889. But perhaps a century from now, we'll look at the maze of poles and wires on our present-day urban and rural landscape as quaint. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.